Our Bible reading today comes from Psalm 87 and also from Ephesians chapter 2, where we will read verse 11 to 22. But the focus of our sermon will be on Psalm 87. Let us listen now to the word of God. A psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. Then our next reading from Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11 to 12. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Over the past few months, if you've been with us in Joshua, we've seen a lot of killing. And not here in person, thankfully, but as we've worked through that book, one city after another has been captured, plundered, and destroyed by Israel. The people of Canaan have been systematically exterminated. And we know that the reasons for this invasion and destruction are entirely just. The Lord is using Israel to cleanse the land of evil. Israel is his instrument of judgment on these nations. Death and destruction is the punishment that sin deserves. The people of Canaan were not being treated unfairly. Nevertheless, after so much judgment and destruction, we are left wondering, is death the only future that waits for God's enemies? Remember last week, God hardened the hearts of the Canaanite kings so they would fight against Israel and be destroyed. So is judgment and death the only future that waits for the enemies of Israel? In answer to that question, Psalm 87 wonderfully reminds us that God's love for his church is much broader than the physical descendants of Abraham. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, it's not enough for God's mercy to be shown only to the people of Israel, The Lord wants His church to be full of Gentile nations. God wants to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Jesus Christ is building a beautiful city full of people from all nations. Now, as we consider this city which God loves and which He's building, we need to be aware from the start that the city of Zion is a metaphor for the kingdom of God. The city of Zion is the city where God reigns as king and where God dwells amongst His people. In the Old Covenant, this city was Jerusalem. The Temple Mount was the one place on earth where God made His presence known. In the New Covenant, God dwells in His people by His Spirit. Christian believers are living stones, in the words of 1 Peter. Living stones being built into a holy temple on the foundation of Jesus Christ. When we come together for worship, as we're doing this morning, there is a very real sense in which God's city is visibly being manifested to the world. So what kind of a city do we belong to? If we are living stones being built into a holy temple, what is the nature of this temple or city of which you and I are citizens? Well, Psalm 87 tells us that we belong to a city of love, a city of grace, and a city of joy. The first truth we learn about God in this psalm is that He loves the gates of Zion. He loves the people who dwell in His presence. Verse 2, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Technically, Zion is the name of the small hill upon which the temple was built in Jerusalem. But over time, it became synonymous with the city and its people, such that the Old Covenant city of Zion is the city of Jerusalem. And on the surface, there was nothing impressive about this city. Certainly not when we compare it to other cities of the ancient world in the period when this psalm was written. Throughout the time of the Old Testament, Jerusalem was small, maybe a maximum population of around 8,000 people. It was not situated on any major trade routes. It was certainly not very wealthy, and it was not very beautiful. Now, if we compare it with Rome, Alexandria, Athens, and Babylon, they were all much bigger, wealthier, and more impressive than Jerusalem. Of the seven wonders of the ancient world, not one of them was in the city of David. But what sets this city apart is God's decision to dwell there. This is a city which God has chosen to love. It might look weak and irrelevant, small and poor, but no other city in the whole world can claim the privilege of being the place where God dwells or of containing the people whom God loves. God loves the gates of Zion. It's become very common today to hear people say, God loves you, or Jesus loves you. It's a phrase we see on billboards and advertisements, coffee cups and t-shirts. We're all very sure that Jesus loves everyone the same. But if we think carefully about God's love, if we allow the Bible to inform our thinking, we must recognize that His love is focused on His church and His city. God loves the gates of Zion and not the gates of Babylon. God does not love everyone the same. The love which has existed from eternity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a love which God has extended only to His chosen people. The Son was sent into the world to redeem a specific people. His church is His bride, whom He has sanctified and cleansed by His blood and Spirit. He's died to make her beautiful and righteous in the sight of God. God's love is particular and specific. He loves the gates of Zion. And he's chosen to love Zion in accordance with the freedom of his will. Out of all the cities in the world, it was his purpose to dwell in Zion and to love the people of that city. This is why the psalmist says that glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Rome may have had numbers, Athens may have had riches, and Alexandria a treasure of culture and knowledge, but it is only the city that God loves which will endure forever. His city is the city to which you want to belong. This is the city where you want to have citizenship. This is the city where God dwells. Under the Old Covenant, the Lord's presence in the city of Zion was visibly seen as his glory filled the temple in the form of a cloud. But in the New Covenant, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord tabernacled among us in the flesh. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus fulfilled the terms of the Old Covenant. He ascended into heaven, and then, together with the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with all those whom he loves. And the result of all this is that the city of Zion is no longer manifest in the earthly Jerusalem. Rather, it is now seen in God's church. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you belong to God's heavenly city. As we read in Ephesians chapter 2, he is the cornerstone on which God's city, God's temple, is being built. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you have been made a citizen of heaven. And now God the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He worked a true faith in your heart, and he continues to sanctify you day by day. He is the one who brought you here this morning, and he will keep you and help you to keep persevering in the Christian life. As Christian believers, we have the privilege of citizenship in Zion. We belong to the city that God loves, not because we live in an earthly Jerusalem, but because we are united to Jesus Christ through faith. And that is a truth which we must remember and celebrate again and again. Instead of judgment and death, God has set his love upon us. Through faith we belong to him. We are members of his city. If you have had another week of sin and failure, perhaps you've struggled with self-control and lustful thoughts. Maybe you've once again realized the frailty of your body and mind, and you feared what will happen to you when you die. If that is you, be encouraged. The Lord loved you when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He knows the very worst about you, and still he decided to set his love upon you. There is nothing and no one which can now make him withdraw his love. God loves the gates of his city. His church is precious to him. In a short while, we're going to be baptizing Georgia this morning. She's going to be given the sign and the seal which testifies that she belongs to God's city. As a child of believing parents, she is part of God's covenant people. Her citizenship and identity are found in Zion, and therefore she must be raised as a citizen of Zion. She's precious to God. She must be taught what it means to belong to God's city. She must be told of God's love for Zion. The city of Zion is a city loved by God. And it is also a city which displays God's grace. That's a second truth which we learn about God in this psalm. The Lord is gracious and merciful beyond our imagining. In verses 4 to 6, the psalmist mentions some famous enemies of Israel. Rahab, which you read there, does not refer to the Rahab of Joshua chapter 2. The name instead is associated with Egypt, the land of slavery. And if you want a reference, you can go and look up Isaiah chapter 30 verse 7. So after Rahab, after Egypt, we then have Babylon, the arch enemy of Israel. Then Philistia, the land that gave rise to Goliath, numerous battles and skirmishes. Tyre was a wealthy city to the north, and Cush was in the area of modern-day Ethiopia and Somalia. These nations were all enemies of Israel. If they didn't fight Israel directly, they aided and abetted Israel's enemies. And yet, wonderfully, there will be people amongst them of whom God says, this one was born in Zion. On the register of those who belong to the Lord will be found the names of Israel's enemies. Evil, bad guys. Pagans who sacrifice their children. They will be brought into God's city. Now this happened in a very limited and a partial manner during the time of the Old Covenant. We've seen, for example, Rahab, the woman, joining the church in Joshua chapter 6. And perhaps also Gibeon in Joshua chapter 9. But they were few and far between. The vast majority of the Old Covenant church were physical descendants of Abraham. But after the coming of Jesus Christ, his disciples, renamed apostles, were sent out into the world to proclaim the good news of his kingdom. And they went not only to the people of Israel, but to the Gentiles, to all the nations. Judgment and death is not the only future which awaits the enemies of Israel. Christ has determined to save people from all the nations. And that is what has happened to us if you're a Christian. And none of us here today, I don't think, are Jews. We're all Gentiles who've been grafted into true Israel. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, we who were once far have been brought near. We're now fellow citizens and members of the household of God. Jesus has given us a new birth certificate, so to speak. Where we were once God's enemies, we've been re-registered as members of his kingdom. This is what the city which God loves looks like. It's a city of Jews and Gentiles, a city where those who were God's enemies are given citizenship. And it's a city which is still being built today. Every new church plant, every baptism, every profession of faith, wherever the gospel is being clearly and faithfully preached, God is active and working. The Most High is establishing his church. There was a time where this part of the world in which we live did not have any churches. Even as little as 200 years ago, this part of South Africa had no gospel witness. But men were trained and commissioned, prayers were said, and God in his grace caused true churches to be planted in Gauteng, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. God is graciously filling his church with people from all nations and languages. The city of God is a city of grace. Again, as we come to the baptism of Georgia, she is going to receive the mark of belonging to this city. And she receives that mark not because there's anything good in her that sets her apart from other children. She's not free from original sin. And Yanni and Tessa will soon discover, if they've not done so already, that she has a sinful nature. No, Georgia is to receive the sign and seal of baptism because the promise of the gospel belonged to her. In his wisdom, God has graciously determined that she was born into a family of believing parents. He loves to show grace to the children of believers, and because she belongs to the covenant of grace, she must receive the sign of the covenant. The good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ is good news also for her. The city of God is a city of grace. It's a city which includes children. Finally, the city of God is also a city of joy. In the last verse of our psalm, the singers and dancers testify that all their springs are in you, that is in Zion. The city of God is a fountain of life because it is the place where God dwells. Jesus is the King of God's city, and to be a member of his church is to have a foretaste of the joy that will come when he returns in glory. Our gathering here as God's people ought to be a joyful gathering. It's where we hear good news that the world cannot give us. This is the place where our thinking is readjusted as we're reminded week by week what reality is all about. This is where we are convicted of our sins as we hear from God's law, where we are assured of our salvation through faith in God's promises. Here, we are encouraged to know that we are citizens of heaven and that our true home is not Centurion or Pretoria, but the new Jerusalem which God is preparing for his people. This is where we visibly receive the blessing of God as the minister reminds us that God's grace and favor will be with us wherever we go. We might not always feel like coming to the gathering of God's church. It is an imperfect earthly manifestation of the heavenly city, but we will never be disappointed when we've come to meet with God and his people. Through the means of grace, God has promised to strengthen and nourish our faith, and he will most certainly do so. I hope that that has been and will always be your experience. You know, those times where it seems like a lot of effort to get the kids in the car, when you're tired after a long week or a difficult night, may you never regret having come to meet with God. May you always testify that it was worth it, that the worship and fellowship we enjoyed was used by God to strengthen your soul. And we really need this strengthening because whilst we live in this world, we continue to be citizens of two cities. Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to an earthly and a heavenly city. We need to be reminded again and again of where our true citizenship lies, so that we don't set our hope only on that which we can see. The earthly city in which we all live is one of sorrow, where life always has disappointments. Yes, there are wonderful and good things that we can enjoy in this world, yet there is also bad. But the heavenly city which Christ will bring is one that only knows rejoicing. It is a city with no more crying or mourning. In Pretoria, you live in the midst of sickness and death. In Zion, there is everlasting life and no decay. In Centurion, you live in the midst of guilt, your conscience troubled by what you have done. In the New Jerusalem, your conscience will be cleansed, the blood of Christ having washed away all your sin and wrongdoing. In Johannesburg, there is uncertainty. You never quite know what is waiting for you around the corner. In the heavenly city, there is security and peace. Here we have broken relationships, but there we will only know loving family. Here we have endless dissatisfaction, but there we will have only delight. This life is one of thirst and struggle where we are never satisfied, but the city of God is a city full of springs. As we sing from Psalm 87, which we'll do at the end of our service, we are being led by Jesus Christ as he sings a song of the glory of the heavenly Zion. His song helps us to see the great love which God has for his people so that we can rejoice at the fact that he has graciously made us citizens of heaven. His song also challenges us to see our new birth and membership in his church as a pearl above all others. And his song also encourages us to rejoice at the diverse groups of people who are a part of his church, even as we pray that God's kingdom will grow among the nations. Brothers and sisters, judgment is not the only future which waits for God's enemies. There is hope, there is forgiveness, there is new birth by which enemies are changed into citizens. Praise God that he loves the gates of Zion and that he has graciously made you and me citizens of his glorious city. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the vision which this psalm gives us of the city that you love and which you are building. We know this is a city which you have been planning before the foundations of the world, and we praise you for sending your Son in the flesh so that we might have life and citizenship in Zion. Lord, may we truly treasure the rich privileges that we have as members of your city. By your Spirit, will you please strengthen our hearts and minds that we might have the courage to persevere in our faith and to keep our eyes fixed on the heavenly glory that you will bring when Christ returns. May we not get distracted by the cities of this world and the riches they have to offer. May we always remember that this world is passing and that we have been born again as citizens in a city that will never pass away. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to build your church in our midst, that you'll work a true faith in the hearts of your people as your gospel is proclaimed even in our earthly city. May the name of Jesus Christ be glorified now and evermore. Amen.